This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Hello, and welcome to Carlisle's ValueCast. I'm Barrett Carr, and I lead Carlisle's U.S. Government Affairs. Today, we're joined by Jackie Roberts, Carlisle's new Chief Sustainability Officer. This is a newly created position at Carlisle, and Jackie, it's a pleasure to have you here. For starters, what is a Chief Sustainability Officer, and what is the role at Carlisle?
Well, thanks, Barrett. I have been in this field for about 25 years, and in that time, I've seen a tremendous shift in the way businesses and the way society views businesses' role on environmental issues, social issues. Governance has always been, I think, a core concern, but it's really expanded into all these different areas. And I think, as in many areas, Carlisle brings the model of having deep knowledge and expertise to issues. So with the idea of bringing the sustainability expertise in-house, Carlisle was looking for a way to bring that resource to the deal teams and to our portfolio companies. And as Chief Sustainability Officer, my job is really just to make us smarter about these issues, and smarter in two ways. One is making sure we really understand risks, and both risks in the short term, but also emerging issues and how we really think about those and manage those. And then opportunities, because there's a lot of value opportunities, and that's what I really love working on. So more simply put, I have three clients here. I have the Carlisle deal teams and helping them and educating them and making sure when they go to a board meeting, they have a couple questions they can ask in this area. I have the Carlisle portfolio companies who are at every stage on the spectrum in terms of how much they've already done in this area and how much they can grow. And then I have our investors that are increasingly interested and they want to know what we're doing and they want to know what value we're adding in this area.
Great. A lot of people refer to these sustainability issues as ESG, environmental, social, and governance. What do those terms really mean to you? And do you think they lead us to the right focus on ESG?
So this is an area rife with acronyms. When I first started, it was EHS, which stood for Environment, Health, and Safety. And it was very clear how critical those issues were because we were having industrial accidents. There were very serious community incidents. So no question that that was the right focus on safety and well-being. And then it evolved to being CSR, or Corporate Social Responsibility. We at Carlisle often use the term corporate citizenship, which I think is a variation on that theme. I have noticed that over the past couple of years, the most preferred term of art is now ESG, and this is more used globally, and that stands for Environment, Social, and Governance Issues. And I think the focus has expanded because people have realized all three of those issues are very important to the intersection between business and society. How are we doing on environmental issues? The range of social issues now that companies think about both in their own operations and those of their suppliers, and governance. Best practice in governance has also expanded. So yes, I do think that these are the right areas of focus because they're the places where business intersects with society most.
So private equity firms are here to maximize returns for investors. How is that focus compatible with sustainability?
I think this question has the easiest answer, and it's because we're all about creating value for investors, and understanding sustainability issues creates value for investors in two ways. The first is the smarter we are about risks, then we can be ahead of those risks, we can manage those risks, we can avoid those risks, and that obviously creates value for the company. More broadly, unlocking value means bringing these perspectives into our review of operations, marketing, supply chains, all those areas. So if you're not looking at opportunities for energy efficiency, water efficiency in your operations, you're really missing cost savings benefits.
Does that also address risk, though?
On the risk side, I think my lens at looking at issues is different than maybe some of our deal team members and what they've experienced in their lives in business. And so sometimes I think about my role as bringing a new type of business intelligence to our deal teams, and hopefully we do that better than anybody else. That's our goal. And then I think we see where those can directly benefit our companies. And I'll give you one concrete example. There's been recent attention and new rules around use of minerals coming from regions of conflict, known as the conflict mineral rules. And we actually had one company that was very smart about seeing that coming along. They were able to lock up supplies of that particular mineral that they needed in their supply chain and did it before the prices increased.
But doesn't that also get to the issue of risk in the supply chain?
Absolutely. If you can't get one of your key ingredients, that is a huge risk for your business. But I think private equity has often been very good at assessing core risks. And what this example illustrates is that you both reduce that risk, but you've added concrete value.
Risk mitigation, great, but isn't there more to it than that?
So this is where I think we're really seeing some exciting things happen, and that's on the opportunity side. When you review some of your core business fundamentals, whether it's your operations, your marketing, your supply chain, there's opportunities there to think about the way in which environmental or social issues can really add value to your company. As an example, on the operations side, energy and water savings can really save a lot of money. We've had any number of portfolio companies, like Allison Transmission, which was able to save over $1 million a year on their utility bills. Vance is another company we owned that we just sold. They found savings of over $3 million. We see our vitamin company, MBTY, finding over $1.5 million in savings. And every time we see these savings, there's also a concrete environmental benefit. So with NBTY, you also see a real reduction in greenhouse gases, which is, of course, something that's very important to us as well. So they were able to calculate that they saved enough energy that it was the equivalent of taking 920 cars off the road. When you add that up across the portfolio for any one of our funds, that's real value added, and it's value added both to the bottom line, but also to the environment, which is something that is good long-term for our companies.
Jackie, you came to Carlyle after 17 years at EDF, the Environmental Defense Fund, where you launched their corporate partnership program. You worked with Fortune 500 companies like McDonald's and FedEx, and to really, my understanding is to marry the business innovation with the environmental strategy. And it must have just been fascinating work, and you did it for 17 years. Give me a few of the stories of what you got to do in that work and the experience out in the field and, you know, sort of what we can learn from that.
My first project, which was working with McDonald's Corporation, was a real example of flipping a risk to an opportunity. They were being picketed by their customers, school children, who were dumping polystyrene containers on the lawns of their restaurant, and they didn't know what to do. We had reached out and said, you know, you really should do a whole plan around your materials, your customer packaging, your shipping materials. You should be doing thoughtful purchasing, and then you should be recycling. You should be making sure that you've got recycled materials in your packaging. And they surprised us by calling us up and saying, well, will you come help us do it? And we initially said, oh, no, we don't work with companies. We just were giving you advice. We don't actually have to implement the advice. But they called us on it. And thank goodness they did, because we came in and spent 6 months really engaged with the company and all of its suppliers. I think there was a lot of very concrete benefits for McDonald's. But what really helped them was, I think Wall Street looked at the company in a different way. They were able to take a difficult issue. They were able to turn it around.
Brand issues are so important to us here at Carlyle. What is an example of a company that missed the boat, in your view, on ESG and how it affected their brand going forward?
Let me give you an example of a company that's not really around anymore, because that's sometimes easiest. There was a company when I was growing up called LA Gear. They made sneakers, and they came up with a great new product innovation. They were going to put a light-up mechanism into the shoe for kids so that when kids ran, their shoes would light up. When they developed it, the lighting mechanism was a mercury switch. And nobody thought, mercury, it's a known toxic carcinogen. It's got very, very challenging characteristics when you try and manage it. And they went out on the market. Very quickly, it was discovered there was mercury in these shoes. And to address the issue, the state of Minnesota actually deemed that these sneakers were considered hazardous waste and had to be disposed of in a hazardous waste facility. As you can imagine, for mothers all across the U.S., the idea that their kids were wearing hazardous waste was a real disaster for the company. And they never recovered. Of course, there was a substitute material that could have been used, because we still have light-up shoes. They just don't contain mercury. And LA Gear missed that, and the product that was supposed to save the company and put it ahead of its competition ended up really being the beginning of the end for that company.
So staying with the topic of brand and looking at our portfolio companies, can you give us an example of one of our portfolio companies where they're really able to grow the brand through ESG?
Yes, we have a company named Exalta that was formerly owned by DuPont. They make paint and coatings for the automotive industry. what Axalta is really strong at is R&D. Increasingly, because of different issues, there was an interest on the part of customers and on the part of different auto body shops in seeing more paint and coatings that did not contain different types of solvents that were waterborne products. And Axalta has really been able to innovate around that customer need and come up with a family of new products that are waterborne products. That has provided them with great new products to market, but also given them, I think, an overall license to operate.
License to operate. Tell us more about that.
Well, the world's becoming a very competitive place. When you want to go in and build a factory, be a supplier, you're going to be competing with a lot of other companies for the business, but often for literally the license to operate, the license to build a plant and service particularly growing areas of the world, developing economies and so on. I think when a company shows that it can be very sensitive to the needs of some of those developing economies, and in this case, air quality is a very difficult issue in China, and it was very clear that the Chinese government, as they expanded their automotive industry and they wanted to bring in painting businesses to support that, that they really needed and wanted only those companies that were able to supply waterborne products and waterborne technologies. So Axalta won a great contract and opened a new plant recently in Shanghai. And I believe that license to operate and the ability to win those contracts absolutely depended on the fact that they had this new type of product in their product mix.
So I imagine that on any given day, you could focus on hundreds of different issues across our portfolio companies and hundreds of different areas. As you look at Carlisle and you look at our portfolio companies, where do you see the greatest challenges and the greatest opportunities?
I think the first thing to me that is really important is changing the conversation. I think a lot of folks don't quite understand what sustainability is, what ESG is, and they see it as a separate parallel activity, or could you just do it so I don't have to think about it? And what I really like to do is talk with my colleagues about their customers, their supplier, their brand equity, how they are marketing things, and then give them examples of how my expertise and innovations in the area of environmental or social innovations can really build on those core business functions. So sometimes I know a major customer like Walmart. I know Walmart is really looking for innovations around the environment from their supply chain. And I can talk to a company we own that's a big supplier to Walmart and discuss how they can do things that will be not only helpful in terms of their own efficiency and their own costs in running their plant, but why their customer will care.
Are there other challenges and are there other bases where you're really educating the deal teams on what to look for?
I think we're seeing across really large global companies that they're being tied directly to their supply chains. And so I think the supply chain risks are going to start to trickle down to smaller companies and are going to really become more pervasive. I think that it's important to understand the relationship with suppliers, and I can even help companies think about what risks are in their supply chain. If there are risks, some supply chains are fairly low risk. But what risks there are, and at what point would it make sense to think about switching to a different supplier?
Jackie, can you talk a little more about the S in ESG, the social part of this?
The social part and the social issues have really become much more understood by folks as we've gone global, because now there's transparency. What's happening in Bangladesh is very clear to folks reading the New York Times. You can't not be connected to your entire supply chain, to all of your customers in very tangible ways. What I find most interesting is conversations around how do we measure that value? So I talked earlier a little bit about retention rates and not having to go out and hire and train new folks. Well, retention comes when your workforce is really feeling valued and rewarded and that there are opportunities to grow. So it's a win-win, and it's also very measurable because you can measure voluntary departures from a company. And if that rate is much higher than the average, you know you have some real issues with your interactions with your workforce and that there may be grievances, but no route for grievances to be expressed to management. People may fear retaliation. There are all kinds of ways in which I think this becomes a real value proposition for companies. And I think folks really now understand how much businesses really have the opportunity to change and improve some of the social conditions. So I do think that these issues are going to grow in importance.
Is this something the investors ask you about?
certainly our investors from Europe, but our investors here in the U.S. are asking some about this. And we're learning too, and they're helping us learn. It's been very valuable to hear from them because in some ways they're ahead of us on these issues. And so they've been able to help us understand where we can go and where we can improve in this area.
So it sounds like it can be a differentiator also.
Absolutely. I mean, we have companies who supply to U.S. firms, and if you're strong on your social issues and if you really are doing better than what is the average in that country, you will find more than enough customers and you will continue to grow. And so I think it can very much be a differentiator.
So in terms of your background, Jackie, you're a chemical engineer. And you came to Carlisle from EDF, a very well-respected advocacy group. What did you think when Carlisle, one of the largest private equity firms, called you and pitched the idea of a position with us? Did you ever think you would be in private equity?
No, I really didn't, but it's quite exciting to me. First of all, I love the getting my hands dirty part of this work and have found already opportunities to go tour one of our natural gas sites. And as a chemical engineer, I actually could understand the processes and where the risks were. And it was educational for me because certain things that in my own mind I had thought were higher risk to me were actually less of concern. But other things I hadn't thought about were areas I wanted to know more about and ask more questions. One of my first days here, I remember reviewing someone's corporate social responsibility report, and they were talking about their eco-friendly products. They were doing great innovations and making their products improved and reducing the environmental impacts. But no product is eco-friendly. And as soon as you start claiming you're eco-friendly, you put yourself up there to be just shot down. So I was very quickly able to say, don't use that terminology. You need to talk very factually about the improvements you've made to your product, and you'll get lots of credit. If you try and oversell it, it's going to undermine what you're able to do.
So when you told your friends in the environmental community that you were taking this position, what did they say?
Of course, when I was thinking about going into the private sector, otherwise known as the dark side to some, I did my own due diligence on Carlisle and really talked to people that had done business with Carlisle and knew individuals at Carlisle well. And I was very encouraged because integrity and trust were two things that came up a lot. And those are attributes that are really important to me. So I felt like this was a place where if I could demonstrate value, that there would be support for all of the different initiatives that we need to do.
Thank you, Jackie, and thanks for sharing your thoughts on the value of sustainability in private equity. Your work is clearly important in the Carlisle goal of investing wisely and growing value.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at www.carlisle.com. This has been a Carlisle ValueCast podcast.